Hi, this is Dana Gardner, Principal Analyst at Interoperable Solutions, and you're listening to Briefings Direct. Our next business trends discussion explores how the latest update to the Archimate standard helps enterprise architects make complex organizations more agile and productive. And joining me today is Mark Langhorst. He's Managing Consultant and Chief Technology Evangelist at BizDesign in the Netherlands and leads the development team within the Archimate Forum at the Open Group. Welcome, Mark.
Thank you.
Mark, we're glad to have you. So, you know, there are so many big changes happening within IT and business and the confluence of them. We're talking about agile processes, lean development, DevOps. There are sort of key approaches now that organizations are using to try to address the rapidly changing business environment and business requirements. Companies today also want to transform digitally to improve their business outcomes. How does enterprise architecture as a practice, and specifically the Archimate standard, support this goal of being more agile and lean in companies?
Yeah, I would say that the key role of architects in that context is to control and reduce complexity, because complexity is really the enemy of change. If everything is connected to everything else, it's just too difficult to make any changes because all these moving parts have to move along. And one of the key tools for that is have models of your architecture that help you create these insights in how things are connected so that you know what happens if you change something, that you can design where you want to go, making something that is easier to change than maybe your legacy current state. And I think it's somewhat of a misunderstanding that if you have agile processes like Scrum or Safe or whatever framework you use, that then eventually your company will become an agile organization. It's not enough. It's important, but if you have an agile process and you're still pouring concrete, the end result will still be inflexible. So the key role of architects is to ensure that flexibility in the short term and in the long term, and models are a great help in that. And that's, of course, where the Archimate standard comes in. It lets you create these models in a standardized way so that everybody understands them in the same way. It lets you analyze your architectures for all sorts of aspects and maybe complexity bottlenecks or cost issues or risks you run from outdated technology or any other kind of analysis you want to make. So I would say enterprise architecture is really a key discipline in this new world of digital transformation and in agile. Although the discipline has to change, of course, to move with the times, I think it's still really very important to make sure that your organization is adaptive, can change with the times, and doesn't get stuck in an overly complex legacy world.
Right. And of course, enterprise architecture is increasingly learning and is improving itself. Part of that is also in the Archimate standard improving itself and advancing. So please summarize for me the improvements in the new release of Archimate, the standard. I believe it's now version 3.1.
Yes. Well, I think the most obvious new addition to the standard is the concept of value stream. That's the latest new concepts in the standard that's inspired by business architecture in particular. And those of you who follow things like TOGAF or the BizBoc will notice that value streams are a key concept in there next to things like capabilities. Archimate didn't yet have a value stream concept. Now it does. And it plays the same role as, for example, the value stream guide of TOGAF states. It lets you express how a company produces value and what the stages in the value production are. And so that really helps you describe how your organization realizes its business outcomes. That's the most visible addition. Next to that, there are some other changes, minor things like you can have a directed association relationship instead of only an undirected one. That can come in very handy in all kinds of modeling situations. And there are some technical improvements to various definitions that have been clarified. The specification of the meta model has been improved. And one technical improvement that's specifically interesting for the Archimate nerds, specialists out there, the way in which we deal with so-called derived relationships has been changed. A derived relationship is basically the conclusion you can draw from a whole chain of things connected together. You might want to see what's actually the end-to-end connection between things that are on that chain. Well, there are rules about that, and we've changed and improved and formalized these rules so that allows you at a technical level and some extra capabilities in the language. But that's really for the specialists. I would say the first two things, the value stream concepts and this directed association, that's the most visible for the end users.
Yeah, and it's very important for me to understand the value streams now being applied holistically. We've seen them, of course, in the frameworks, and now with the Archimate, value streams provide sort of a common denominator for organizations to interpret and then act, and that cuts across different business units. Help us understand why value streams as that common denominator is so powerful.
Yeah, so a value stream helps you express what the value is that an organization produces for its stakeholders, the outcomes it produces, and the different stages that are needed to produce that value in parts. And it gives you a concept that's, let's say, less detailed than looking at your individual business processes. If you look at that level, you might be standing too closely in front of the picture because you don't see the overall perspective of how a company creates value for its customers. You only see the individual things that you do, the individual tasks that you perform, but how that actually adds value for your stakeholders, that's really key. And next to the value stream concept itself, the capability concept that we already had is very important, and also the mapping between them, so that you can see what the capabilities are that you need for these stages in the value production. And in that way, you can have a great starting point for the rest of the development of your architecture, because it tells you what you need to be able to do in order to add value in these different stages. And you can use that concept at a relatively high level, sort of an economic perspective, where you look at classical value chains from, say, supplier via internal production to marketing and sales and the consumer. You can also use it at a finer grade level. But the focus is really always about what's the value that you create rather than what are the tasks that you perform.
Right. Now, for those of our listeners and readers who might not be that familiar with Archimate, can you provide us a brief history? I believe it was first used there in the Netherlands back in 2004, and it's been part of the Open Group since 2008. How far back do you go in terms of connection with Archimate?
It started as an R&D project in the Netherlands. At that time, I worked at an applied R&D institute in IT, and we did these kinds of joint collaborative projects together with industry and academia. And in the case of Archimate, there was a project in which we had, for example, a large bank and a pension fund and the Dutch tax administration, a number of these large organizations that had this need for a common way of describing architectures. And that started in 2002, and I was the project manager of that project. The project ran until 2004, and already during the project, these participating companies said, we need this, description technique for architecture, but we also want you to make this standard. And of course, we promised to make it into a standard, but that's not how things go. You need a standardization organization for that. So we were in touch with the Open Group already shortly after the project ended in 2004, 2005. It took a while, but eventually the Open Group adopted the standard. The official version under the aegis of the Open Group came out in 2008. That was version 1. And then we had a number of iterations in 2012, I think it was. We had version 2, 2016, that was 3, 3.0, and now we're at 3.1. So that's an increment to the last major release. And so there's a whole history behind that. You can really see the growth and the adoption growing along with that.
Sure. So the vision, Mark, for Archimate is to be a de facto modeling notation standard for enterprise architecture. And of course, that helps improve communication between different stakeholders across an organization, a company, or even a country or a public agency. How does the new Archimate improvements help advance this vision, in your opinion?
Yeah, I think one of the aspects, take this value stream concept, that gives you this broader perspective of how value is produced, even in an ecosystem of organizations that's broader than just a single company or a single, say, government agency. So this broad perspective, I think, is important. Of course, it works internally for organizations. It has worked like that. But increasingly, we see broader perspective. And just to name two examples of that, NATO, in its most recent NATO architecture framework, version 4, that came out early last year, they now specify Archimate as one of the two allowed metamodels for modeling architecture for NATO. So for these different countries and how they work together, this is one of the allowed standards. And for example, the British Ministry of Defense wants to use Archimate models and the Archimate Exchange format to communicate with industry when they, say, issue an RFP. They give the Archimate model describing the context of that, and they expect Archimate models back describing the solution. Another example is in the European system of central banks. They have joint systems for doing all these transactions between central banks, etc. And they have completely modeled those out in Archimate so that all these different central banks have the same understanding of that architecture. And that's just across organizations, between organizations. But of course, within organizations, you have the same problems of understanding what's actually happening and how the bits fit together and making sure that everybody's on the same page and not drawing their own, say, PowerPoint diagrams that are understood differently depending on who's looking at them.
Yeah, it's very impressive, the extension and extent, rather, to which Archimate is now being used and applied. And one of the things that's also been very impressive to me personally is that the goal of Archimate has been to be able to conquer complexity, but it hasn't fallen into the trap of being complex itself. One of its goals was to remain as small as possible, not to cover every single scenario. Tell me a little bit why the importance of, if you're going to conquer complexities, don't become too complex in doing so, and why that's worked for Archimate.
Yeah, exactly. That's one of the key principles behind the language, is that we want to keep it as small and simple as possible. We once drew up our own Archimate manifesto. Some of you might know the Agile manifesto, but the Archimate manifesto is somewhat similar. And indeed, one of the key principles is that we want to cover the 80% of common cases for the 80% of common users, rather than try to cover 100% for 100% of the users, which gives you all these exotic use cases that require very specific features in a language that hardly anybody uses, but it does clutter the picture for all the users. It would make it much more complicated. So we've constantly been sort of vigilant to avoid that feature creep where we keep adding and adding and adding all sorts of things to the language. And we want to keep it as simple as possible. And of course, if you are in a complex world, you can't always keep it completely straightforward. You have to be able to address that complexity, but making the language as easy to use and as easy to understand as possible has always been a goal. And that will also be a goal going forward.
Yes, and of course, the Open Group has always been very adamant about having executable standards as a key principle, not just having things be too abstract, but very applicable. So how is the Archimate standard supporting this principle of being executable and applicable?
Yeah, of course, in two major ways, because it is implemented by most major architecture tools in the market space out there. If you just look at, say, the Gartner Magic Quadrant and the tools in there, pretty much all of them have an implementation of the Archimate language because it is just the standard for enterprise architecture. So in that sense, it's become the one standard that rules them all in the architecture field. At a more detailed level, talk about executable standards. I think the Archimate Exchange format has played an important role in that and is playing a role because that makes it possible to exchange models between different tools for different applications. And I mentioned this example of the UK Ministry of Defence, who want to exchange models with industry, specify their requirements and get back specification of the solutions using these Archimate models. So it's really important to make these kinds of models, this kind of information available in ways that different tools can use them, manipulate them, analyze them, etc.
Well, very good. So that's Archimate 3.1. When did that become available? What's the timing on it?
It's available in the first week of November.
That's November of 2019. Excellent. Okay, of course, these things never stand still. So what are the next steps? What does the future hold for where you'd like to take Archimate 3.x?
Yeah, well, maybe that would even be 4.0 or something. We haven't made any concrete plans for that yet. It's currently, of course, we're thinking about where we would want to take it, possible improvements. Well, some things you could think about is simplifying the language further so that it is even easier to use, perhaps having a simplified notation for certain use cases where you don't need the precision of the current notation, but maybe having a sort of alternative notation that looks easier to the eye. There are some other things that we might want to look at. For example, Archimate currently assumes that you already have a fair idea about what kind of solution you're developing, but maybe moving a bit upstream in the brainstorming phase of architecture. So supporting the initial stages of design, that might be something we want to look into. So there are various potential directions, but we all of these are aimed at keeping things simple, helping architects express what they want to do, but not making the language overly complicated and more difficult to learn. So simplicity, communication, and maybe expanding a bit towards early stage design, those are the ideas that I currently have. But of course, there's a whole community around this, the Archimate Forum within the Open Group. All the members of that have a say in that. And there are other outside influences on that as well, of course. So, yeah, various ideas of where we could take this.
Great. And it's also important to note, I believe, that the certification program around Archimate is very active. How could people learn more and perhaps pursue themselves certification in Archimate?
Yeah, you can find more details on that on the Open Group website. It's all laid out there. Basically, there are two levels of certification. You can take the exams for that. You can take courses with various course providers, BusyZone being one of them, and then prepare for the exam. Increasingly, I see in practice that this is a requirement when architects are hired, that they are certified so that the company that hires, say, a consultant knows that at least they know the basics. So I would certainly recommend taking an exam if you're into enterprise architecture.
And of course, there are also events. These topics come up and are often very uniformly and extensively dealt with at the Open Group events. So people should look for those at the website as well. All right. I think we should leave it there. I want to thank you all for joining, and also want to ask you to join me in thanking our guests. We've been here with Mark Lankhorst. He's the Managing Consultant and Chief Technology Evangelist at BizDesign in the Netherlands. Thank you so much, Mark.
You're welcome.
And a big thank you as well to our audience for joining this Briefings Direct Agile Business Innovation discussion. I'm Dana Gardner, Principal Analyst at InterArbor Solutions, your host throughout this series of Briefings Direct discussions sponsored by The Open Group. Thanks again for listening. Please pass this along to your IT community and do come back next time.